This morning, our scripture comes from the book of Psalms, the 145th chapter. Hopefully, you will recognize it, for it is the basis of what we've been singing about this morning. Psalms 145, just one verse, verse number 3. You are wonderful, Lord, and you deserve all praise, because you are much greater than anyone can understand. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to a time now that your people want a message. They want to know your word, your thoughts, your will. Father, let my prayers and meditations be answered. Move me out of the way. Let it not be my words, but yours. Not my message, but yours. Father, be with us now as we come to understand what your will would be for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you haven't gathered, probably the greatest hymn ever written, How Great Thou Art. A hymn of praise among God's people that is recognized as probably one of our most sacred hymns. The English translation was written by Stuart Hine along with the musical arrangement back in the 1800s. The original Swedish text, O Stor Gud, and I guess that's Swedish, I'm not sure, but his inspiration for How Great Thou Art came from a visit of being in the countryside and being caught in a storm. Kind of like us, caught in storms. That storm followed by a brilliant sun, then he heard the singing of the birds in the trees, and the experience prompted Bomberg and Hine to both, because they had both been caught in storms, to fall on their knees in humble adoration of their mighty God. The fourth verse of this hymn was actually not penned until after World War II. It makes you realize that turmoil and storms come in all of our lives. What we also realize is how Scripture motivates and inspires all of us, and how music, in turn, is an inspiration of God's Word. This song, How Great Thou Art, is just that. A praise of the name of our Lord. It's plain and simple. We're going to take a look at those four verses because those four verses encapsulates everything God is. The first one is His power and might. Awesome wonder. All the works Thy hands have made, the stars and the mighty thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. You ever wondered about some of the works that God at His hand? You ever seen a picture of a platypus? As far as I'm concerned, this makes sure that we understand each other when I say this, that God does have a sense of humor. The bizarre appearance, believe it or not, when it was discovered in Australia by European naturalists, actually thought it was an elaborate fraud. I mean, first off, it's a mammal that lays eggs, has a beaver-like tail, a bill that looks like a duck, has webbed feet for swimming, and believe it or not, is one of the few mammals that is venomous. On the male, there's a spur on the hind leg that actually injects venom that causes severe pain in us if so attacked. It is indeed an amazing creature, even if it is funny looking. How about a cheetah? Smallest of the big cats, it has amazing speed and stealth, but it lacks one thing that cats common to cats. It can't climb a tree. You ever know that? It's the fastest land animal known to man. It goes between speeds of 70 and 75 miles an hour. And those of you that are car buffs, you'll appreciate this. It can accelerate from 0 to 68 miles an hour in 3 seconds. For the record, that's faster than most sports cars, much less the Oldsmobile. That's fast. And God created it. One of my favorite animals, believe it or not, is an elephant. Massive creature, without a doubt. The largest elephant ever recorded was shot, believe it unfortunately, in Angola in 1956. It weighed 26,000 pounds. For those of you that are not real quick in the conversion, that's 13 tons. It had a height of 14 feet to the shoulder. To give you a perspective, that means it would have to duck if it went underneath most underpasses here in Virginia. In fact, the one on Harold Road, those of you that are familiar with, it wouldn't even be able to fit under. Amazing animal. And they're not dumb either. Their 11-pound brains demonstrates the ability to make music, play, use tools, compassion. It can demonstrate behaviors such as grief, laughter, fun. It actually has a self-awareness. Those are all things that we attribute to high intelligence. All these animals and the thousand more God made. This hymn also has us looking at the stars. You ever try to count the stars? It's impossible to do. On estimate, on a clear sky night in October, November, for those of you that like to do that, we're coming up on the perfect time, you might see 1,000, maybe a couple thousand. If you borrow Mr. McIntyre's telescope that he likes to bring out when we have events for youth, you might actually see 1,000,000. But it's impossible to count them. Because you see, scientists believe there's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 100,000 million stars just in the Milky Way alone. Outside that, there are millions upon millions of universes and galaxies. Genesis 1:16 said, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Oh yeah, He made the stars also. Like it's no big deal. Well, it's no big deal to you and me. I mean to God. But it is a big deal to us. Think about it. A feat to create billions of stars in a universe at the blink of an eye. Almost an afterthought. That's how mighty and powerful our God is. You ever been in a rainstorm? Thunder and lightning? You ever thought how powerful lightning really is? Well, let me give you some things to chew on this morning. Lightning travels at about 60,000 meters per second. At the very tip of a lightning bolt, the temperature can reach temperatures approaching 54,000 degrees. Wow, that's some power, wouldn't you agree? It's enough power, in fact, to send Marty McFly back to the future. Yeah. See if you're really paying attention, see? The lightning heats the nearby air to temperatures of about 18,000 degrees, which is twice the temperature of the face of the sun. And that's how come we have thunder. Just so you know, thunder, somewhere along the line, falls in, as far as decibels, about 160 decibels. To give that a perspective, the garbage truck that wakes you up on Saturday morning, that's 10 times louder than that. And if garbage trucks don't come in your neighborhood, how about a jackhammer? About 10 times louder than that. Thunder is so strong and powerful that the concussion can actually make drywall pop off the stud wall, can crack windows, can make you go deaf, can rupture your eardrum, just from the concussion of thunder, and typically can be heard over 10 miles away. His power, God's power that created lightning. And who controls this phenomenon, this thing that we know as lightning storms and such? Jesus Himself. Remember Matthew 26:27? And He saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Even the winds and the sea. Jesus controls all. Makes you kind of second guess global warming, doesn't it? Because God's in control, not you and me. This makes my soul sing out to my Savior, my God, how great thou art. You're immensely great and powerful. Which brings us to the second verse, his gentle spirit. All that power cannot be contained, if you will. It can't really exist without being a gentle side. We experience peace and tranquility through the woods and the forest glades. Hear the birds sing. Look down from lofty mountain. Hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. How great thou art. How great thou art. You hold all this power and might in your hand, and yet you bless us with gentle escapes. Nothing can be more relaxing than being in the deer woods, those of you that are hunters, quietly walking to that perfect spot before daylight, taste of coffee and the sausage biscuit still on your lips. You sit still, quietly listening for that soft sound of that deer tiptoeing through the brush. And then it happens. Seems like it comes out of nowhere, doesn't it? It comes before you can even realize what's happening to you. You fall asleep. And don't tell me you don't. We all do. Among the peacefulness of the woods, you almost always doze off. The sweet song of harmony between the wind blowing through the trees. Matthew, I know you're laughing really hard right now. Squirrels, the sound of the other hunter on the other side of the woods snoring. God's almighty powerful hands have carved out this peaceful setting just for you and me. You ever been to the Grand Canyon? How about Niagara Falls? Have you ever thought about all the oceans of the world? You know, we only live on a third of this planet. He took pleasure in creating tranquility for you and me. In Genesis 2:8-10, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground may the Lord God grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Even the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge also of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. It must have been beautiful. Still is. This Eden, this garden, this world that God provided for you and me. How great thou art. You ever climbed a mountain? I know I claim that I have, but I really haven't. Blue Ridge are not mountains, just for the record. But it sounds like fun. If you go to the mountains or if you go to the backwoods, there's a requirement by the Forest Service that you fill out a backwoods or wilderness pass. And the translation for that pass, just for the record, is in case your mom and daddy call, we know where to go look for you. Okay? But on the backside of it is a place for comments of how your experience was. And I'd like to share some of those with you, potential mountain climbers. Escalators would help on the steep hill, uphill sections. Trails need to be reconstructed. Please avoid putting them in places where they go uphill. The pristine areas are getting a little too crowded. Can you mark them better with more signs? There's a place that I took my sons. It's called Orchard Falls. It's a beautiful hike. It is in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And you really can't describe it, even though there, I hope there's a picture behind me. Good. of what it looks like until you actually go, you really don't know what it's like. And in the summer, there is nothing more refreshing than to take a waterfall shower after hiking all day. God's creation. Only a God could create something like that. Third stanza is His saving Son. Of all the things God created, His most treasured possession is you and I. Me. Man. The expanse of His universe, the amazing things here on earth, earthquakes, volcanoes, creatures, from the smallest ant to the large giant blue whale. The heavens, the stars, the planets, the moons. He loves me most of all. That part is humbling, that a God that powerful, that large, would love me. But see, He sent His Son to a cross to die for you and me. I can scarce take it in that on that cross, my burdens were gladly bearing. He bled and died to take my sin. You think over your life and remember all the bad things you have done, the lies you have told, the promises you have broken, fall victims to the evils of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of it all. You can't help but remember how awful a person you really are. And we've all done those things. Just because you have Reverend in front of your name doesn't make you exempt. But He bled and died to take away my sin. Have you ever punished a child by taking something away from them? Ground them from the radio, the TV, taking away the internet, the computer, the car keys. Any of those things happen to you, youth? Well, let me give you a little thing here that I don't think we really realize. Are those things really taken away? No, because eventually you get them back. You see, Jesus took our sins away. Christ took our sins away. How far away? Psalms 103 gives us a little hint. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. East and west can never meet. God's forgiveness, He separates us from sin. And He doesn't remember it. Now don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean that you can't remember it. But as far as God is concerned, He is done with your sin. Thou truly are a great Lord. Thou truly are a great God. How great Thou art. He proved His love with His Son. His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die. I scarce take it in. I can't even imagine why He did this for me or for anyone else. The sin of Cain, a murderer. The rampant sexual immorality of Sodom and Gomorrah. The hypocrisy of the Pharisees. How about the evils of today's society? Abortion, mass murders, pornography, abuse. Do we need to really go on? All these sins God sent His Son to take away. To bear. To gladly bear. Not as gladly as in, oh goody. No, gladly as in willingly. God knew what pain the cross would be. And we do cause God pain. And God the Father and God the Son willingly bore the pain of our sins. The fourth and final verse is His acclamation in our adoration. This final stanza has us looking forward to His return, to the day when the trumpet will sound. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that the last trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised. Trumpet will sound to herald the end of the church era as we know it, when all believers will be removed from this earth and to join Him in heaven. Christ will return visibly with a loud command, a cry from an angel, a trumpet fanfare that we have never, ever heard before. Believers who are alive will be caught up in the clouds to meet Christ Himself. What a joy. We will finally see the face of our Savior, face of God the Father, and we will bow and humbling ourselves, because for once in our lives we'll finally realize that Christ is more important than ourselves. My God, how great Thou art. Great song. My God is great. My God is so great that His power and His might is more than we can fathom. His gentle spirit brings us peace and tranquility. His saving Son brings us eternal and takes away our sin forever. And His acclamation brings us home to an eternity of humble adoration of the great God we worship. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! My God, Your God, our God is great. Let us never, ever forget that and why we are here. Pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You for being great and mighty. I thank You for being all-powerful and all-knowing and all-comforting. Father, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You would love each of us so much that You would send Him to die on a cross, to take our sins away forever and ever, and that someday we will be in heaven with You. In Jesus' name I pray all these things. Amen.